welcome, if we haven't met before, I'm Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And I want to welcome you. Some of you are over in the East venue, here in the West venue, and those online. So good to have you with us today. We just kind of recap on a couple things. In the month of January, we are doing a series. We're calling it Knowing God. And we think it's a perfect time to actually talk about this at the beginning of the year. Because this is a time where if you don't know God, you can know him for the first time ever. Or if you know God, you can know him even better. And so that's what we're looking at. Last week, we talked about prayer. And we talked about how God gives us this amazing gift called prayer. And we talked a little bit last week about what prayer is and how we do it and all that stuff and why we do it. And it's this amazing gift where God, and we looked at one of the verses where when we pray, we are literally coming into the throne room of God. It's just amazing. So why would we not pray? And so we talked a lot about that stuff, but here's what I want to do. I want to kind of come back today and talk about prayer again, but in a different way. I want us to look at today, what are the things that keeps us from having our prayers answered? When you look in Scripture, you're going to find, and I'll show them to you today, about six different things why we have unanswered prayer. If you've ever prayed before and it hasn't happened, it could be because of one of these things. In fact, some of you, probably, I'm going to guess probably 99.9% of us have had unanswered prayers. We've prayed about something like, God, save my marriage, but we divorced. Or maybe you had a loved one that was sick and God raised them up and they died. And you're going, what is going on? You know, and sometimes you feel like when you're praying, like the prayers are like hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. And it's like, God, where are you? Are you there? Do you care? What's happening here? But Scripture shows us that there are some things that could hinder our prayers. And as we go through these, now listen, as we go through these, I really encourage you to write down or to circle or whatever, because if you have your C3 app, our notes are on there. You can circle or write down the ones that probably you are dealing with. And just see what God's going to do, because if we have one of these six things that are hindering our prayers, if we begin to work on these things, we could get to know God even better. So let's talk about some of these things. Six things today we're going to talk about. Six reasons why God sometimes doesn't answer your and my prayer. First one is this. Our relationships matter to God. Our relationships matter to God. Let me give you a verse. There's some verses we're going to look at today that's like, interesting. Take a look at this one. It's in Mark 11. It says this. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, you should do what? Forgive them. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now hold it for a second. This is saying that if we're praying and we are praying for God to answer something of our prayers, but we are not forgiving somebody, what happens? Well, what happens if we're not forgiving somebody, then God cannot forgive us of our sins. Very interesting. This is something that we have to realize. In other words, we can't say that we love God, but we hate our spouse, or our parents, or our boss, or our neighbor. There's something about this in the cosmos, in the spiritual realm, to where if we do not forgive other people when they've done something to us, for some reason, somehow, we're blocking God to be able to forgive us. And that will hinder our prayers. Interesting. Stop and think about that. Let me just ask you this real quick. Do you have grudge? Do you have unforgiveness for somebody? Are your prayers not being answered? Could it possibly be because of this? Could it possibly be that we are not honoring God, because God freely gives us forgiveness. And he says, what I freely give to you, I want you to freely give to other people. But when God forgives us, but we don't forgive others, God's going, no, it doesn't work that way. And all of a sudden, it begins to hurt our prayers. And God is like, not listening, it doesn't seem like. And we're going, what is going on? And it's a struggle. You know, if you're a good parent, think about this, because God is our Heavenly Father, right? If you're a good parent, and your kid just was being a jerk to everybody in the family, to mom, to dad, to siblings, and everything, and then the kid comes up and goes, hey, can I go to my friend's house? You go, absolutely not. Absolutely. Well, why? I did my chores. Chores has nothing to do with it. Yes, you did your chores, but the way you have treated the family trumps the chores. No, you're not going to your friend's house. Not today. See, that's kind of where a parent has to kind of sit the kid down and talk straight to him and say, look, this is not the right way. And sometimes I think God does that to us. Have you ever noticed that? You ever feel like God is sometimes in life just kind of having you sit down and have a time out? God sometimes does that once in a while. And sometimes it hinders, just like this we're talking about today, hinders our prayers. We pray, but God has forgiven us, but we haven't forgiven somebody else. And God's going, it doesn't work that way. And it seems like God's just far away. If they're dealing with that, that could be number one. Let me give you something in your notes. The way we treat one another matters to God. The way we treat one another, who's the one another? It's anybody other than you. It's your kids, it's your spouse, it's the people you're sitting next to here. It's anybody else on the planet. With the way we treat one another, it matters to God. Why? Because God is our Father, right? And we are all his children. And he wants his children to get along, just like you want your children to get along. When they don't, there's timeouts. And that may hinder your prayers. You may not have unanswered prayers because of that. Let me give you 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, it says this, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the, weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. In other words, what God is saying is, husbands, the way you treat your wife matters. And if you do not treat your wife right, then you're going to have some hindered prayers here. But do the right thing so that nothing will hinder your prayers. To which right now, at home and in person, a lot of wives are elbowing their husbands right now. Now, but can I remind you, this is for all of us. We are to do this, whether we're a husband, whether a wife, whether we're a kid, whether a neighbor. We're to always, always take care of other people, not have anger, not have remorse, none of those things. This is something that will hinder our prayers. Is this what's hindering your prayers? Stop and think about that. Are you having prayers that are hindered? And if so, could it be because of number one? Let me give you another one. Number two, our motives matter when we pray. Our motives, when we are praying, our motives matter when that happens. In James 4, take a look at this. In James 4, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with what? Wrong motives. Because you have wrong motives. Now, isn't that interesting? Because let me give you kind of an example here. Let's say you are a guy, a single guy, and you see that cute girl, and you're going, oh, God, she is so fine, she is so cute, right? But God, she's not a Christian. So God, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus, right? Because you know, this is a Christian guy, right? And he knows Scripture, And he knows that we're not to be unequally yoked in dating and in marriage and all that kind of stuff. And God, I'm a Christian and she's not. But God, I'm praying that you would just save her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just going to be amazing, right? And I just pray for that because, Lord, I would love to date her and maybe at some point even marry her. That'd be awesome. And so that's the prayer that this guy prays. Wrong motives. Right? Now see, actually, let's be fair. The first half was good, right? God, let her get saved. That was good. That part of it was good. But why does he want her to be saved? Is he really caring about her eternal soul? No, he wants to date her, right? So it was the wrong motives. I mean, if she was ugly, is he going to be praying for her, right? I mean, just stop and think about this stuff. Why in the world do we do these things? And you know that you've done something like this before. Maybe about dating somebody, maybe about something else. Our motives. You know, Lotto. Lotto's going big. You're like, oh, man, God, I'm going to buy a ticket. And God, I pray that you allow me to win. And God, I promise, listen to this. God, I promise that if you let me win, I will give 50% of whatever the winnings are to the church. God, I'm going to get back to you to the church. It's going to be awesome. And God, I think God just laughs. God goes, you're not even giving 10% now as tithe. And you think you're going to snowball me and say that, oh, you're going to give me 50%? Yeah, well, thanks a lot. See, a lot of times we pray things that are the wrong motives. It's our motives. It's what we want to have happen. And yet this isn't what God wants. God goes, you can pray about certain things of your will, but it's just because it's your will doesn't mean I'm going to do it. See, the thing we always have to remember, and if you're a regular C3er, we've talked about this over and over again. God is not a cosmic Santa Claus. He's not the genie in the bottle. We'd like to think he is, but he isn't. God is God. And God knows what is best because his ways are higher than ours. We don't understand it. But yet we oftentimes pray our will, what we want, our motives. And yet that is not God's heart. Let me just ask you a question. Are you praying your motives all the time or often? Are you not hearing from God? Could it possibly be because you're doing number two? Because you are just praying your motives? Let me give you another three. Number three is this: the way we live matters to God. The way we live matters to God. James 5 says this. James 5 says, the prayer of a what kind of person? Oh, righteous. Righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. It doesn't say the prayer of an unrighteous person. It doesn't say the prayer of somebody that just kind of goes to church once in a while. It says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. To which we pause and we look at ourselves and we sometimes think, I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. I mean, Mark, you don't know what I deal with. I struggle with some things. I have some sin in my life. I do this. I do that. I struggle. I didn't say we were perfect. That didn't say, it said righteous. God knows that we are sinful, broken people in a sinful, fallen world. He knows we struggle with things. He knows we have issues. But God says, if you're following me, you're not perfect, but I, God, see you as righteous. Are you righteous? To which we wouldn't say that, but God goes, you are to me. Because you are my son, you are my daughter. We're in relationship with each other. See, this is, take God out of the equation for a second. How people live matters. Let me give you an example, and I want you to figure out which one you would choose. Two different people. We know their stories. One person is a guy that doesn't have a job. He has not a whole lot of money, but he could have had two jobs, but he thought they were beneath him, so he didn't do it. He uses his money for other things than what would really help him. He drinks a lot, so that he spends a lot of money on alcohol, because that's just what kind of makes him feel good. And then person number two does not have very much money. And yet they're working two jobs, and they're not paid well, but they're doing everything that they can. They're trying to do everything. And when they get any sort of money, they're buying food, they're paying rent, they're doing everything that they can. And you are standing there, and you have a $20 or a $50 or a $100 bill, and you're going to give it to one of these two people. Who are you going to give it to, number one or number two? If you have a brain in your head, you would say number two. Because number two is trying. Number two is actually trying to do something. They're not trying to just go farther, farther, farther down like number one is. But they're actually doing something. Actually trying. I remember, let me tell you, we have a thing here called C3 Resources. Where people inside the church or outside the church can come to us if they need help with something. Now, we don't just hand out money. We want to go through things with them to see how we're doing. I remember hearing one of the stories, don't know the person's name or anything, but the people that dealt with them told me this. It was a lady that came, said she can't pay her rent. So we said, bring in all of your bills. So all the bills, and we're seeing a lot of bills that they have that is frivolous. She says, I need rent or I'm going to be kicked out of my apartment. So the people that were helping here at C3 were saying, okay, we see that you have cable TV. Yeah, I've got, that's a necessity. That's a necessity. Okay. And I see how many packs of cigarettes are you smoking? This many. Oh, okay. On and on. And here's the thing we came to, the person that was helping them, saying, you can keep those things if you want, or you can get rid of those things and have a roof over your head. But you're not going to have both. You see, that's what happens. The way we live matters to God. How is your life? Is God looking at you going, you are trying, you are working, or are you just praying whatever and you're doing your life your own way? The way we live matters to God. And it could possibly be one of the reasons that we are having unanswered prayers because of the way that we are living, because there is not a thing you can hide from God. Isn't that amazing? He knows everything about us. You can't hide that. You can hide it from a spouse. You can hide it from your family, your boss. You cannot hide it from God. And God knows that. Could it possibly be that's what's hindering your prayers? Proverbs 15 says this. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Again, we're not perfect, but God calls us righteous. Are you righteous? Is the way you are living honoring God? If so, great. If not, it possibly could be one of the reasons why you're having unanswered prayer. Let me give you number four. Number four is this. Our faith matters to God when we pray. Our faith matters to God when we pray. In James 1, take a look at this. In James 1, it says, but when a person asks or prays to God, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man or that person should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. In other words, when we pray, when you pray to God, and you come into the throne room of God, And we talked about last week how God literally hears your voice when you pray. Out of all the billions of people on the planet that are praying at the same time, God hears your voice. And as you pray to God, we pray to God with faith. Do you pray with faith? Do you pray but you're thinking God's not going to do this? I remember hearing a phrase one time. If you pray for rain, do not leave the house without an umbrella. Right? Because that is actually having faith. I'm praying to God, and I believe he's going to do it. Now, he can do something else if he wants, but this is what I want to actually have faith when I pray. If you don't have faith, it's harder for God to answer the prayer. It's harder. It's kind of like we're tying his hands up because we don't really have the faith that God wants us to have. You might, there's a story in the Bible where two blind guys came to Jesus. Now, you're saying, how do they come to Jesus if they're blind? I'm sure somebody brought them to him. But here they come to Jesus, and they're asking Jesus to heal them. And in this verse, here's what it says. Then Jesus touched their eyes, and he said, according to whose faith? Your faith. Your faith meant those two guys. Wasn't Jesus' faith, wasn't God's faith. Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. Do you have faith when you pray? When you're praying to God, do you have faith and believe that God can do that? And do you also have faith that God will do that? And some of you are going, yep, I think God can do it. I think God can do everything. It's great. That means because I have faith, God's going to have to do everything I tell him to do. That's awesome. I got God over a barrel. That's great. Well, hang on. Because we have number five to look at today. Number five is this. God's will matters. God's will matters. Did you know that? God's will matters. And let me give you a verse here. The verse is telling us this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, according to his will, what's going to happen next? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Interesting. According to his will, God actually has a will. And God sometimes will look at your prayers, your will, as you pray, and he'll look at that and go, if it fits in with what my grand scheme is, yes. If not, then my will, God's will, trumps your will. And we have to realize that. Why? Because God's ways are higher than ours. We do not understand God's ways, but God's ways are always, always better. In fact, let me give you a story. In the Bible, when Jesus died on the cross, rose again, 40 days later, he ascended to heaven, he left the planet. And then we see right after that, we see the book of Acts. And there's a guy in the book of Acts named Paul. And Paul was just an amazing guy. He was going around starting churches and all over the places. And once he started a church, he would go try to start another one. And oftentimes, Paul would be in prison because people did not believe what he was doing. And they would always throw in prison and have problems. And so he would be in prison a lot of times. And he would be writing letters. And his letters would be writing to the churches that he's already started. And he's encouraging them and helping them and stuff. But there came a point in some of his writings where he said that he had a thorn in the flesh. And three times he prayed to God, asking God to remove this thorn in his flesh. Now, again, we do not actually know what the problem was that he had. Again, over the years, I've joked about, I think it was his mother-in-law. But other than that, most theologians believe it was his eyesight. Because in some of his books in the New Testament, in some of the books, he is having somebody else write it. He's saying it, and they're just writing it down for him, which would show that maybe his eyesight is going bad. And he prayed three times, God, help me with this thorn in the flesh. And if it was his eyes, God, help me with my eyes to be able to, I need to be able to see. I need to be able to write to these people. I need to encourage them. I need to do all this stuff. And how did God respond to a guy that was doing amazing work, that is starting churches, and he didn't know at the time, but he's actually writing the New Testament? I'm thinking, if I'm God, I'm going, Paul, whatever you want, buddy. I mean, you've done so many things for me, and it's going to be amazing, and it's just awesome, and the writings are going to last for eternity. It's just that you're writing. It's just amazing. Yes, I'll give you everything you want. I'll take this thorn of the flesh away from you. That's not what God did. That's not what God did. God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. I want my power to be shown through your weakness. Stop and think about that. Because I was thinking about that as I was working on the message this week. Because I was thinking about, what does God mean by that? I want my power to be seen through your weakness. And then I started thinking, if I lived back then and I knew about Paul, and Paul is often thrown in prison, and now his eyesight is going, and he's done so much for God, but yet, look at this guy. This guy is almost blind and in prison, and God is doing amazing things through him. If God can use a guy like that, God can use anybody. And it encourages other people to see what God is doing through somebody like that. You see, God can use a guy in prison that's almost blind, and if he can do that, he can use you. And he wants to use you because he loves you. And that's what we do when we become a Christian. Christians aren't just, I come to church for an hour for a Sunday, and then I just do everything I want. We are on mission. We're on mission to help other people come to know Christ. He can use you, even in your weaknesses, even in the things that you're not proud of, even in the struggles. God can use those things to get glory from your life. God can use you for this. You see, there's been times over the years of being a pastor that I have done, I couldn't even tell you. I know it's well over 100 funerals. And I remember a few years ago, this is, I don't know, probably 7 years ago, a family, I did the funeral for their loved one. And they told me that, man, we prayed that God would heal our loved one. But it didn't happen. But then what happened after the funeral? About 3 weeks after the funeral, about 3 or 4 of the family started coming to the church. And over that period of time, 2 of them came to know Christ. Can I tell you, when we pray for somebody's salvation, or we pray for a sick person who is dying, sometimes God raises them up. Sometimes God heals them. And sometimes God lets them pass. Because again, as we always talk about here at C3, Scripture tells us we're all going to die at some point. It's still 100%. But the reality is this. Sometimes God allows somebody to die because God knows the future. God knows that if this person passes, those person are going to start looking to God. And 2 of them came to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that is God's will. That is God's will. God's will is more important than our will. God's will is that people would know God before they leave this planet. And that is why I believe, in this instance, that person died, because 2 of their family members came to know Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing. That is God's will. But I'm going to tell you, for that family, that wasn't their will. But God is always trumped over our will. In fact, let me just give you something else. I've shared with you this before. My wife has got some autoimmune diseases. She has type 1 diabetes, and she's got a couple others, and they're just for fun. And so she just has a lot of health issues. And what's interesting is, over the years, I have prayed for my wife. I have prayed, God, heal her of these things. And it's been all through our marriage I've prayed for her. And as of today, God hasn't healed her. And after a while, this is a few years back, I started changing my prayer and saying, God, can you tell me why you're not doing this? Why are you not answering this? Am I doing one of these things wrong? Or what is it, God? And what I found out was this. What God spoke to my heart on is he says, look at what your wife's doing. And so I started looking. And what I realized is she was starting to connect with other people that she knows in the community, other people in the church that have health issues as well. And she will come alongside and pray with them. She will come alongside and talk to them in a way where she understands where I wouldn't as much. She will text them. She will encourage them, different things like that. I'm thinking, so what God is doing and what God has been doing is using that weakness in her, that sickness, all those things, to bring to her a ministry of her own, to be able to use and help with other people that I would not probably really connect with as well because I don't struggle with those things, but my wife does. And I look at that and I'm going, okay, God, I'm still praying. I'm still praying for healing, but I get it. My will is that you would heal my wife. But if not, God, let people be blessed. See, it's always God's will first. But for some reason, we want it to be our will all the time. But it's just not that way. In fact, let me just tell you this. Let me give you a verse. Even Jesus didn't get his own way. I mean, take a look at this. As he's going to the cross, this is what Jesus prays. Father, if you are willing, take this cup. When that's not an actual cup he's talking about. Take this cup. I mean, I don't want to go to the cross. Take this cup from me. Yet, this is what Jesus, the Son of God, says to the Father. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, that's Jesus. You're the Son of God. Of course it's your will. And he says, no. No, it's the Father's will. So let your will be done. If Jesus didn't get his own way, you're not either. Right? But yet Jesus was willing to do this. It's not like he was fighting and I don't want to go. No, no. He knew why he left heaven to come to earth. He knew it. But when the time came, the flesh, just like us, we would be scared, right? Pain. But he says, but your will be done. What if we began praying like that? What if we started praying, God, your will, not my will. Here's my will, but your will be done. What if we did that? And then let me give you one last one. Last one is this. Number six. We must have an honest relationship with God through Christ. We must have an honest relationship. Now, let me give you a verse. In John 9, here's what it says. It says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does what? His will. If you're doing his will, you are being honest with God. You are in an honest relationship with God. And that's what God wants. God's not saying that we are part of him if we just know religion or if we just go to church once in a while. We have to actually have a real relationship with God. We have to have a real relationship for God to hear our prayers, for God to be able to answer our prayers. But this is one of the six reasons why prayers are not answered. Because we really sometimes don't have a relationship with God. We think we do because we believe there's a God. And again, I feel like I'm always harping on this. But even Scripture says the devil believes in God. The demons believe in God. But you and I have to know they are not going to spend eternity with God. They're going to spend eternity away from God. So you just knowing about God and believing that he exists is not the relationship. You come into a relationship. You get to know him. He gets to know you. And all of a sudden, as you are following him and have an honest relationship, all of a sudden, oh, God is real to you. Just as your kids are, or your spouse, or your friends. God is real. And yet, for some reason, there's so many people, I know it's not our church, it's probably other churches, that just believe that there is a God but don't really have a relationship with God. Can I encourage you on something? I want you to actually look at your heart and realize, do you have a relationship with God, or do you just know about God? Because I'm going to tell you, those are two different things. And God doesn't want you just to know about him. He wants you to know him. That's why we're talking about this series this month. This is something that we need to know. So let me give you some things real quick. Here's the thing. Write down the ones that you realize might be hurting your prayers of these six things. So we're going to go through them real quickly here. So here they are. Now commit to correct those things. Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. Boom. Hit the button. There we go. Are your relationships not working because you don't forgive? In other words, is your prayers not being answered because you are not forgiving somebody else? If so, I want you to circle or write that down to remember this so that you can pray and take care of it this week. Let me give you number two. Do your prayers only revolve around your motives? Again, it's fine to pray your motives, but I'm going to encourage you to say, but your will be done, God. And allow God to trump it if he wants to, right? Okay, but are you just praying your motives? Because if it's all about your motives, then God's going, sorry. Number three, here's the third one. Do you not live in a way that honors God? If you are in known sin, and you know you are, and God, and you know what God has said here, but you're doing this thing over here, and you really don't care. Could this be what's causing you to have unanswered prayers? Number four, fourth one is this. Do you not have faith when you pray? You pray for something, but honestly, you're like, I don't think God's going to do it. I don't think it's going to work. It's hopeless. If you do not have faith, could that be one of the reasons why you have unanswered prayers? Let me give you another one. Next one is this. Are you praying for your will instead of God's will? And then let me give you the last one. The last one is, do you have a personal relationship with God? You can circle or write down one, two, three. Some of you are going to write down all six. And that's okay. But God is here. God loves us. God has a relationship with us. He wants you to come into relationship with him. And he loves your prayers. And he loves to answer your prayers. But when he answers his prayers, these things here we talked about have to be out of the way. Let's pray. So, Father, right now, Lord, last week and today we've talked about prayers. Last week we talked about praying and what it means, and I'm so thankful for this amazing gift that you give us. And today, Lord, we talk about unanswered prayers today. And, Lord, I know that this is a tough one. We don't like unanswered prayers, and we don't like knowing that there's six things that could hurt our prayers. But, Father, we need to know these things because when we take these things and we flip them and do the right things, then we get to know you even better. And I'm so thankful, God, for that because, Lord, you can show us even through this message today how we can know you even better. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, right now for each person right here, for those that have been struggling, that have been praying, that they feel like their prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. I pray, Lord, that they would take this message today and apply it to their life and transform their prayer life. And you would be honored and glorified. So, Father, today, one of the prayers, as we always pray, we pray for those that do not know you. Today is a time for somebody online or in person that does not have a relationship with you to come into a relationship. So we bow our heart, and we know this is your will for us to confess our sins to you and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, as we do that, your word always tells us you will forgive us, and you come in relationship with us, and we are in relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. So Lord, we pray for those that are making that decision today, and we celebrate the new life and the new relationship, and we say, thank you, Jesus. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.